The following podcast is a Dear Media production.
Dear Media IRL is back, and we're showing up bigger, better, and louder than ever. Join us on May 4th in Austin, Texas for the ultimate live podcasting experience. Watch and learn from your favorite Dear Media hosts as they bring their insightful discussions from your headphones to the stage. Get ready to be inspired, entertained, and watch audio get a makeover. Tickets are on sale now at dearmedia.com/IRL. See you on May 4th in Austin, Texas.
Welcome to the Blonde Files podcast. I'm your host, Arielle Lori, and I'm here to talk all things wellness, from how to achieve optimal health and well-being to the best beauty tips and everything in between. No topic is off limits. I know there's so much information out there, so I'm bringing on expert guests and sharing my own experiences to help you sift through all the wellness stuff without the BS. Enjoy the show. Hi, everybody. Welcome to the show. Welcome to a solo episode. I was actually just thinking about it, and I realized that I don't think I've done a solo episode since the divorce episode. Is that right, Ashley? Ashley is nodding, which was, I guess, sometime in February, but it feels like I am living a completely different life from what I was living in February, from what I was living in January, from December, all of that. It's so crazy. I don't remember if I talked about this on the last solo episode, but when I got divorced and moved out, I went to Vegas for the Super Bowl that weekend. I think I did talk about this, but I moved out of one house, or I left the house that I shared with my ex to go to Vegas. And then I had movers come when I was gone. And when I returned to LA, I returned to a different place. And in some ways, a completely different life. My life feels like everything is new. You guys probably know I bought a house. I just got a new car. There's new relationships. I guess I'll say that. Ashley goes, what? Just so much newness. My new podcast name that will be coming out, this kind of new era for the podcast. We are going to be launching a Patreon as well in that new era. So lots of new stuff happening there. And it's just wild how much can change in such a small period of time. I guess that's the point that I'm trying to make. So anyway, here we are. I am going to be answering questions that I got on Instagram, as always. They are kind of all over the place. I'm going to try to do some questions that I either haven't done in a while or that I haven't done ever. So I was going to start with more of the relationship stuff, but this is very relevant. And I feel like I have to say something at the top of the episode for anybody who's watching on YouTube. I don't know if you can see this, but I got my lip filler dissolved yesterday and things are happening in the mouth region. Okay. So if you're not watching on YouTube, you're just listening, you can just picture this. But somebody asked any updates on recent procedures that I've done. And I've actually been getting this question so much lately. And I think my theory is that it's because I actually have not done anything prior to the dissolving. I mean, no Botox, no filler, no nothing. And to me, it's honestly been kind of a mind fuck because I've never seen my face like this. I've never seen my face move. I've never seen my like brows in the position that they're in. I haven't seen this much expression on my face in 10 years. And it's been really hard. And then in some ways, there are some aspects that I like as well. But when I see pictures of myself or I see myself in video, I'm like, yeah, I do look different. And I think people assume that I'm doing things, but it's actually because I'm not doing things. However, I have this deal with Restylane. I'm going to be working with them on a few videos. I love Restylane. I am not an anti-filler person. I just use it really sparingly. But when I decided to work with them, I really wanted to do it, but I was like, well, I don't really need any filler and I don't do that much filler. But then I had Anoush come in, Skins and Needles. You guys probably all know and love her now because she was on the podcast recently. I was talking to her about this and she was like, I really want to dissolve your lips and start over. And I don't think I've ever fully dissolved my lips. I just have old filler in there. So anyway, that's what we did yesterday. Now I'm bruised. I looked like I was from Whoville yesterday. I mean, it was hilarious. I'm sure you guys have seen videos of people dissolving lip filler. It's kind of trendy right now on TikTok especially, but it has this enzyme in it that makes your lips blow up to just hilarious proportions. It's so funny. It's also extremely painful, but the pain doesn't last very long. And by the time this airs, we will be refilling, but I wanted to answer that question. And I feel like the bruising is so obvious. Ashley said she can't see it. I'm hiding my face behind the microphone, but maybe if you're watching on YouTube and you're watching like on a giant TV, who knows, maybe it's noticeable. The other question that I've been getting a lot, and this is something I have not acknowledged anywhere, and I was not going to acknowledge, at least for a while, is did I explant? And I think it's maybe a little bit obvious. I don't know. Some people are total sleuths. Some people message me and say that they can't really tell. And then other people are like, come on, girl, spill. Like, why did you take them out? Because they think it's really obvious. So I loved my implants. I loved the look of my implants. I had no issues with them. However, when I got incredibly ill last fall, which I talked about it a little bit in the Amy Chang episode 2 weeks ago, I'll go more in depth about this on Patreon, I think, because I don't know that I necessarily want to put all the information out there just for anybody. But when I was so sick last fall, it started the day after getting Botox, and I went from being completely fine to like, I've never been so unwell in my life. I thought I was dying and I literally wanted to die. And I went to so many different doctors and I told them all that I thought it was Botox, and they all said no way. So a few months into it, I started kind of gaslighting myself, I guess, because a lot of the symptoms that I had are these kind of non-specific symptoms that you hear about people having a lot when they have breast implant illness or other conditions, dry eyes being one of them. My eyes were completely dried out, vertigo, debilitating anxiety, rashes, things like that. So I called Dr. Cohen and I told him, I've just been so sick for months and I don't know what else it could possibly be. And he said, come in next week, we'll take them out. At least then we remove that variable and then you can see how you do. And if you don't feel better, or if you figure out it's something else and you want to put them back in, great, we'll do that. If not, keep them out. But at least we don't even have to consider that as being a factor in how I was feeling. So we took them out. I was awake. That's a whole other story. Sounds traumatizing. Actually, it was like the best hour that I had in that entire whole saga, many, many months long, because I got Valium and I got laughing gas. In recovery, we call that a freelapse. So I was freelapsing hard, just vibing out in the operating room, listening to George Michael, sucking on my laughing gas thing. Anyway, I digress. So we took them out. That was around the 3 month mark after I had gotten Botox injections. And I started feeling better a few weeks later. And I thought, great, it's the boobs, even though in my heart I knew that it was the Botox. And I talked about this in the episode with Amy, I think. I went and I got like 6 units of Botox just to test and see if I would do okay with it. And everything started again. So that was what told me that it was from the injections, not the implants. That is what happened there. That is why I took the implants out. I didn't have any issues prior to that. So, you know, this part of the question, did I explant for health reasons? Yes, but not the reasons that people may have thought. As for if I'm going to put the implants back in, that's going to be a no for me. As much as I miss them and as much as I loved how they look, I just think I'm so sensitive. My body can't handle Botox. And I've also had a crazy headache since I did this dissolving yesterday. It's just like my body is just telling me, I think, no foreign things. Like, let's just chill for a while. So that is what happened there. I always say I have zero regrets in life, except for one. And that one is baking myself both in the sun and in tanning beds when I was younger. Back then, we just did not have the sunless tanning options that we have now. Now we have so many, and I know that people kind of have a difficult time navigating and knowing which ones are best. So let me introduce you to my current favorite. If you have not heard of Nuda yet, allow me to upgrade your life. So by now, you know that I am skincare obsessed, skincare conscious. I truly care about the effectiveness and the quality of the products that I'm using. And on top of that, me and sun damage are not friends. So in light of this, I've partnered with Nuda Sunless, a sunless skin essentials brand that is professionally backed and carries everything from self-tan, skincare, cosmetics, to sun care. So if you're looking for a healthy way to bronze and glow without the fear of sun damage, Nuda is for you because glowing skin shouldn't mean damaging it. So I am currently loving the self-tanning water mousse. I use the light to medium. If you want to have a little more control of application, you can see where it's going on. I also love the self-tanning mousse, the regular mousse, not the water. I like the shade medium. They also have an amazing lotion. They have amazing face tan water, and they also have the best tan exfoliant, which really gets rid of all that tan residue. So you don't have to worry about the self-tan uglies where you have to do the girl math to plan whatever you need to be tan for, and then when that tan is going to start coming off and when you can re-tan. You guys know what I am talking about. They just have so much versatility and range within their product lineup. It's really comprehensive. It caters to all skin types and preferences with products, like I said, for self-tan, skincare. They also have amazing cosmetics and sun care. All of their products are designed to provide a natural and healthy glow, emphasize skin health and beauty without compromising on sun safety. And you can achieve a professional level glow at home with Nuda products, making sunless tanning accessible and convenient. So unlock the secret to overall radiant skin with an exclusive offer for the Blonde Files listeners. Visit Nuda.com and use the code BLONDE for 20% off your order. Discover the skin loving formulas of Nuda and step into your healthy glow today. That's Nuda, your go-to for all things radiant, sunless skin. When we think of how our inner health is reflected outwardly, I think the first thing that we think of is our skin. But really, our hair is also a major reflection of our health. Internal factors can impact the way our hair looks, feels, and grows. And I know that so many women struggle with things like hair thinning and shedding, and it's not really talked about. But it actually happens to approximately 1 in 2 women. So if you are among them, know that you are not alone. So I experienced thinning and shedding primarily in 2022. I was going through a very stressful time and I had a lot of thinning and shedding, especially around my hairline. So many people, from my dermatologist to my nurse practitioner to my friends in the hair industry to a plastic surgeon, all recommended that I take Nutrafol. Nutrafol is the number one dermatologist recommended hair growth supplement. And everyone's root causes of hair thinning are different, so a one-size-fits-all approach to hair growth doesn't cut it. So Nutrafol has multiple formulas that are tailored to give your hair what it needs to grow throughout different stages, such as postpartum and menopause, as well as for different lifestyles, such as plant-based diets. It's physician-formulated with drug-free ingredients. Nutrafol's supplements support healthy hair growth from within by targeting root causes of thinning, including stress, hormones, environment, nutrition, lifestyle, and metabolism as they evolve throughout a woman's life. 86% of women reported improved hair growth after taking Nutrafol women's hair growth supplements for 6 months. And this is the key. People ask me how long to take it for. I noticed baby hairs coming in around 3 months, but I really noticed a lot of new growth and consistent growth after about 6 months. So go to Nutrafol.com. You can take their hair wellness quiz for a personalized hair health plan based on your specific root causes, and you can purchase online, no prescription required. So take the first step to visibly thicker, healthier hair. For a limited time, Nutrafol is offering my listeners $10 off your first month's subscription and free shipping when you go to Nutrafol.com and enter the promo code BLONDE. Find out why over 4,500 healthcare professionals and hairstylists recommend Nutrafol for healthier hair. Nutrafol.com, spelled Nutrafol.com, promo code BLONDE. That's Nutrafol.com, promo code BLONDE.
So now I think we're current with beauty stuff. Now I'm going to go into the relationship stuff. I know that I covered a lot in my last episode, but I did get a lot of questions about it. So the first main one was, are Chuck and I still friends? This is something that I talked about in that divorce episode. However, I will say things have evolved in the last couple of months, and we're definitely still friends, but it's been a little bit harder than I expected for a number of reasons. I think that trying to be friends with an ex and trying to have and maintain this friendship right after getting divorced is a little bit of just tricky territory, because I think there have to be a lot of boundaries, and I think that a lot of feelings come up, good and not good. It's just challenging. There's just a lot of like landmines that I think you're navigating. So we are definitely still friends. FWB, not friends with benefits, friends with boundaries. Ashley is laughing. But I hope that in the future we're able to have more of a friendship and a relationship where, you know, we're not kind of walking on those eggshells, but it is a little bit difficult. Will I change my name back to fully let go of the marriage? I got this one a few times. And to that, I would like to say, who says that you have to change your name back to let go of a marriage? I have fully let go of that marriage, but I'm not changing my name back. I think that that is just a very personal decision. Something that I had to factor in as well is that professionally, I've gone by my name for almost 8 years now. So there would be a lot of things required to undo all of that, from emails to URLs to podcast name, and all of these things can be done or could be done if it was important to me, but I'm not going to be doing that. Plus, I feel like it just sounds better than my maiden name. So we're going to be keeping that, but the two things do not go hand in hand. Like, you can definitely let go of a marriage without letting go of a married name. At least that's my belief. When does it get better after a breakup or divorce? Is no contact best? I think that it totally depends on the circumstances. I think that it doesn't matter how long you've been with somebody, or whether you were married or just dating. I think that you can be with somebody for a short period of time and have an incredible connection and then break up for whatever reason. And that can be incredibly painful for a really long time. And I think you can be with somebody for a really long time and break up and move on pretty quickly. I talked about this again, not to keep referencing that last episode, but I felt like I really went through so many of the emotions, so much of the pain, so much of the processing and the grief and all of that prior to the divorce ultimately happening. The divorce was just kind of that last step, kind of the formality. So while it was definitely incredibly sad, and there have definitely been moments where, you know, I'm grieving the marriage and the loss of that relationship and the life that I had for all of those years, when we got divorced and I moved out, I was ready to move on because I felt like I had gone through all of that. As far as the no contact part, I guess I kind of touched on that already. I don't think that there's any rules. I just think, again, it can be kind of precarious. So it totally depends on the circumstances. But if you're finding that you're really missing somebody and it's really painful and really hard, then in that situation, yes, I think no contact is best, because otherwise, what are you doing? You're going to torture yourself by keeping in contact with that person. Unfollow them on social media. If my ex had social media, I would literally block him. I would not want to see. I would not be following on my Finsta. Like, I am that kind of person where I don't want to see. If we break up, it's like they said in Sex and the City, like, you need to not exist. That is the only way that I feel like I can move on. Obviously, that's not what's happening in my current situation, but that's because I was in a different place, like I said, with that marriage. So I feel like I'm kind of talking in circles about this one. But I guess the bottom line is that I think it's kind of cliche, but the only thing that really does help is time. How much time is going to depend on so many different factors. If seeing them, talking to them, seeing what they're up to is causing more pain and turmoil and discomfort than it is like enhancing your life in any way, then definitely cut that contact. Dealing with the shame of being single in mid-30s, how to be at peace being single, and uncertainty of not finding the one. I feel like I've talked about this ad nauseum, but I think that being single in my 30s is kind of amazing for so many reasons. The life experience, not that 30s is old, but having been through multiple relationships and learned about myself and what I like and what I don't like and what I want and what I don't want, I think with age comes more confidence and assertiveness, at least for me, where I feel like I have a choice in relationships. Whereas in the past, I would start dating somebody, I would put them up on a pedestal and give them all the power in the relationship, all the power to decide what the relationship was going to be, where it was going to go, if we were together, not together. And something that I learned kind of just recently is that, like, I have a say in a relationship. I'm one half of a relationship and I can decide if I want to be in it or not. It sounds so stupid, but that was just not something that I really realized until I was well into my 30s. And I just think it's such a great time. Obviously, this depends on circumstances, but to be single, to be dating, I know, like, dating is kind of a circus out there, but I just think, at least for me, I feel like I'm in my 20s, but with money and life experience and confidence and, like, peace where I'm fine being alone. But if you enhance my life in some way, then that's great. Oh, uncertainty with finding the one. I don't know about that. Somebody told me many, many years ago when I was turning 30 and I was having that existential crisis because I was single at the time and I thought that I was, like, becoming geriatric. She said to me, there's somebody for everybody. Like, look at some of the people out there who are in relationships. Like, let that bring solace that there is somebody out there for you. I don't know if that's helpful at all, but it was for me.
I don't know about you guys, but I am so ready for summer, and it's definitely starting to feel like spring in LA, which I love. And whenever there's a transition or a shift in season, I also like to transition the scent that I'm wearing. I am scent obsessed, and right now I am loving Vacation and Aftersun by Vacation. So these are two luxury summer fragrances from Vacation, the makers of the world's best smelling sunscreen. And these fragrances are specially paired to capture memories of summer from day to night. If you guys have smelled this before, then you know how nostalgic it is. Vacation by Vacation is truly one of my favorite scents because it captures the smell of classic sunscreen with notes of coconut, banana, pineapple, and orange blossom. So it brings you back to those cherished summertime memories. For me, it evokes that feeling of going in after a day of being in the sun, you have a little bit of a natural tan, you take that shower before you maybe get ready to go to dinner, and it just brings back the best memories. And then I also love Aftersun because it captures the scent of the illustrious Vacation brand Aftersun Gel. So it has notes found in classic Aftersun Gels like aloe vera essence, green tea, cucumber, and cardamom absolute, with notes found in classic Aftersun settings like mini bar gin, resort towel plush, and open weave linen. It brings you back to that quintessential holiday moment after a long day spent poolside. Like I said, taking that cool afternoon shower, lathering Aftersun Gel on sun-kissed skin, and putting on your breezy resort wear. So for a limited time, listeners of my podcast get 20% off their entire order with the code BLONDE at vacation.inc. That's vacation.inc, and the code is BLONDE for 20% off your entire order. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. As you guys are hearing in this episode, I am definitely in my social era. My life and my lifestyle are completely different post-divorce. And as fun as it has been, I have to say my social battery is pretty drained right now. I am definitely feeling spread thin with so many social gatherings, dinners, also breakfasts, brunches, lunches, just all the social things. And on top of that, work has been so crazy right now. So this is something that I am working on in therapy. I am trying to have better self-awareness when it comes to how I'm scheduling my time, making sure that I'm not draining my battery, and just having better boundaries.
So I have been in and out of therapy my entire life. I've really benefited from it in the past 10 years since I have been sober. And I think a misconception around therapy is that it is only for when things are really challenging, but I actually find that I really benefit from it when things are good as well. And I can lean into the things that are going well. It helps me to feel empowered. It helps me to be the best version of myself. So it's not just for things like major trauma and difficulties, although of course it can be helpful with that too. So if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online. It's designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. All you have to do is fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist, and you can switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. So find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/files today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/files.
How has my lifestyle changed after divorce? Wow. I mean, completely different life, completely different lifestyle. You guys probably know my lifestyle before was, I'll walk you through the day. Wake up at 6:30, have my matcha, meditate, very, very slow mornings. Have my protein bowl, maybe walk 10K steps, go do a workout, ease into the day, ease out of the day at say 5 o'clock, start cooking, eat dinner at 5:30 or 6, do my skincare, get in bed and read at like 8, lights out at 9:30. Okay, now let me walk you through my day. Getting up at usually 6 or 6:30 and diving right into work. I don't know why, it's just things have been so crazy busy right now and I have been off my morning routines because I wake up with ideas and things that I feel like I need to respond to and kind of get ahead of before the day starts. Sometimes I have sponsored content, things that I need to shoot early in the morning before other work starts. So I have to do that. Some days I will go for a walk around maybe 8 or 8:30, but there's no like easing into the day at all. It's like waking up and getting right into it. And then I've maybe cooked 3 times in the last month or two. I'm going out to eat every single meal. I'm eating at like 8 o'clock. Last night I did cook and I ate at 8:19 p.m. I looked at my phone and I was like, wait a second, what? I think part of it also is that it gets dark later. So it's a little bit misleading. But I was like, who is this person? I remember during COVID, we were eating at like 4:45 or five, so early. And we were like, do you remember when we used to eat dinner at 7:30? Like we were so crazy. And now here I am. So going out to dinner, go for a walk with friends at night and then eat dinner after that. Social things like every single day or night. And part of that is due to dating. Ashley has a look again. Getting home, shower, do my skincare at like 9:30, 10 and go to bed 10:30, 11, 11:30. I don't even know who I am anymore, to be totally honest. And as fun as it's been, it's also been a little bit destabilizing because I need my routines. I'm realizing now my routines are always very flexible. And I think that wellness should be flexible. And even though I'm in this phase right now of my life, I do know the things that I can do to kind of get back on that stable ground a little bit. But I think that there's a time and a place for everything. And I'm glad that I don't have rigid routines, but I think I need a balance because just everything has been so crazy right now. And when I don't have at least some guardrails in place, like doing that morning meditation or getting in bed earlier, reading before bed, having good sleep hygiene, whatever it is, it can lead to burnout. And that's definitely what happened to me. I got bronchitis last week and it's just been nonstop. But that's how my lifestyle has changed after divorce. But I have to say, it's kind of been amazing because something that happened to me when I was married was I felt like I was living in this bubble. And I really didn't break out of that bubble. And I was so comfortable that I just never wanted to do anything. Like, I just didn't want to go anywhere, do anything, you know? And I thought, oh, it's because I'm like an introvert and I get my energy from being alone. That's still true. But it was also just because I was like so comfortable and I was like, why would I go anywhere? So this has really broken me out. And I realized that I do actually thrive off social interaction and doing new things, meeting new people, going out to dinner, maybe not every night, but just getting out there more than I was. So it's interesting. I'm kind of like meeting a new version of myself right now. Am I still eating breakfast within 30 minutes of waking? What's my morning routine? I guess I kind of just covered the morning routine. Eating breakfast within 30 minutes of waking, I still am trying to do that because one of the tools that I actually have continued to do is the protein thing. Because I know that being on that blood sugar roller coaster when it comes to my diet is just such an added stressor on my body that I just don't need right now. And I feel like focusing on protein, I know, the inventor of protein, just at least enables me to have consistent energy and, you know, not be on that roller coaster of like getting hangry, reaching for something sugary, crashing, hormones all over the place, all of that. So the breakfast, it's not always within 30 minutes of waking, but usually within an hour, that does help to stabilize me like in the morning. Okay, what is my current workout routine? And this person said, how do I stay slim if I work out infrequently? I'm trying to think how to say this without sounding obnoxious, but I've talked about this before. Genetics play such a huge role in how our bodies look, and that's just a fact. And I don't think people really talk about that enough. And I remember when I first started on my quote unquote fitness journey back in the days of BBG and Kayla Itzinas, I just remember trying to kind of beat my body into this specific shape. And it took a while for me to realize that that was not the shape of my body. That said, I am petite. Everybody in my family is petite. My mom's tiny. The women are tiny. The men are lean. Like, that's just how my family is. So I think that's just kind of my body type. So when I don't work out, I lose muscle and I think I look skinnier. People are probably like, shut the fuck up. It's kind of interesting because when I'm not working out at all, that's when I get the most messages from people like, what are you doing? What's your workout routine? And what are you eating? And I don't know what to say because I don't want to say I'm not doing anything, but that's the fact of it. Also, I was really sick last fall. I went through a divorce. Like, there was so much life stuff happening that I'm sure I lost weight as a result of that. But now I feel like I'm kind of back to my baseline. All of that said, my workout routines are or were non-existent, totally non-existent. I would do a sporadic workout with Harley, a sporadic Pilates class. I was doing workouts just kind of randomly. Now I'm really trying to get back into it because I'm feeling better. It took me a long time to feel better. I would say I was feeling around 80% for 3 or 4 months, maybe December, January, February, March, really just April. I've started feeling a little closer to 100, knock on wood, as far as my physical health goes. So I'm trying to get back into working out. What that looks like is a short walk, like I said, either in the morning or an evening walk with a friend. I am doing strength training right now, like once a week. Pilates once a week and tennis twice a week. And I feel like that's kind of a good breakdown because when I'm doing the same thing all the time, I get bored and I feel like my body doesn't really respond. And I think that the best thing for us in so many areas of our life is variety. And that applies to working out as well. Sometimes I go through phases, obviously, where I really like to do one thing. In general, if I had to pick one thing, it would be Pilates because I really just love the low impact resistance. I like the effect that it has on my body. I like how I feel after because I get that mind-body connection. So that would be my favorite. But I get that from tennis too. And I love being challenged in a different way, doing something that I'm not good at and learning something. It's like the most rewarding feeling to challenge yourself and feel yourself get better at something. And there's so many moving pieces in something like tennis or really any sport where you're having to think about so many things at once. I was talking to my instructor today. He teaches like 10-year-olds and he's like, for them, it's just natural for them. They just do it. They don't think about it and it clicks. Whereas for adults, you're analyzing everything. And so when I'm playing, I'm like, okay, oh my God, my grip, and then my foot this way, and then I have to hold it this way and finish that way and look at the ball in my hand here. And there's so many elements to it that it's really challenging. But then when it clicks, it's really rewarding. So I've been doing that, loving it, and trying to stay on that routine.
When it comes to weight loss, it can be really difficult to navigate all of the conflicting information out there. There are also so many trendy kind of wellness modalities around weight loss that are really just unsustainable, like juice cleanses, soup diets, keto, hours of cardio. So if this cycle sounds familiar to you, there is a better, more sustainable way to lose weight. So Ro provides access to the most popular weight loss shots on the market. You guys have probably heard various experts on my show talk about the benefits of these medications. The Ro Body program pairs a weekly shot with healthy lifestyle changes, which is key here. So you can lose 15 to 20% of your weight in a year on average and actually keep it off. Ro Body program members have support throughout the entire process. Ro's partner handles all of the insurance paperwork to help get medication covered. And if eligible for medication, patients have access to their provider on demand for any questions. Over 200,000 people have already chosen Ro to help them lose weight, and you can sign up from the comfort of your own home, which means no scheduling a doctor's appointment, no commute to the doctor's office, and no waiting rooms. Again, average weight loss is 15 to 20% in 1 year with healthy lifestyle changes. BMI and other eligibility criteria apply. Go to ro.co/blonde. And when you sign up today, you'll pay just $99 for your first month and $145 a month after that. Medication costs are separate. That's ro.co/blonde.
Do I feel like diet is more important than working out? Obviously, I'm not a professional. I know for myself, I think genetics plays a huge role. I think diet for me is probably, just throwing an arbitrary number out there, 80 to 85% of it. No matter how far off my routines I fall, I still really have an affinity for eating a certain way. And I feel like that helps keep me pretty healthy and in shape. And then I feel like the working out is kind of the icing on the cake. For other people, it might be reversed or might require a little bit of a different balance of those things, of diet and working out. But I don't know. I think of that saying, you can't out-train a bad diet. I've had trainers on the show who have actually challenged that saying you can totally outwork a bad diet. You can eat like shit and you can work out like a maniac and still look good. I don't know if you're going to feel great. Some people do. So I think it really depends on the person. But I know for myself, if I'm not eating a certain way, like eating well, then I really feel like shit and then I can't work out. So I personally cannot out-train a bad diet because I am a delicate flower. Like I'm just super sensitive, as we know, and I at least have to nourish my body and fuel my body in a certain way so that then I have the energy to be able to work out and to be able to sustain that. Okay, I'm gonna do a couple of quick ones. Deciding if I want to do this one. Am I dating any keepers? Yes and yes. More on Patreon. And I know I'm going to get the people like, oh, it's so fast. People don't know the circumstances of the relationship and the divorce. Obviously, I've said what I've said about going through the process prior to the divorce actually happening. And I'll talk about it a little bit. I did start to set some rules around it. Like, well, it's only been X amount of time, so I'm not going to pursue this because blah, blah, blah. And then I realized I'm making up these arbitrary rules based on nothing. And I just decided to set aside everything that I think I know about dating or relationships and just be open and curious. That's kind of a recovery thing. There's something actually called a set aside prayer. And it's like, just like, help me set aside what I just said, all these preconceived beliefs and ideas that I have about how things should or should not be. So far, that has served me really well. That's all I'll say about that. Okay, so I think that's a good place to end for today. I will say that I am going to be launching a Patreon soon. And on the Patreon, I'm going to be delving a little bit deeper into subjects like dating, more about procedures. I'll talk more about the Botox thing, the explant thing, more behind the scenes, just real life updates. And it's going to be weekly. And so I'm just going to be kind of rambling about these topics and things that are going on in my life and what's really happening. And of course, I'm going to talk about this on the regular show as well. But that's just a place that you can go weekly to get more of the kind of juicy things, juicy content that I don't necessarily want to talk about on the regular show. So keep an eye out for that. And that's it. Love ya.
I hope you enjoyed that episode. And if you liked it, and if you like the show in general, please take a second to rate, review, and subscribe. It goes a long way, and it's actually the best way to support the show. Also, if you want to see more about each episode, you can head over to the Blonde Files podcast on Instagram. You can go to ariellaurie.com. And I'm always posting about each episode over on my personal page at ariellaurie.
Please note that this episode may contain paid endorsements and advertisements for products and services. Individuals on the show may have a direct or indirect financial interest in products or services referred to in this episode.